Hello, lovely ladies. It's Molly Mehara Stratajoy, and this is one of your Holiday Council interviews for 2013, and it's probably the one you have been most excited about. I know on my side, excited and nervous butterflies, because I get to introduce you to the very illustrious Danielle Laporte. Danielle, thank you for being
here. Hello. I'm excited, too, and I love the word illustrious, because it's actually about light. It's not about glamour. It's a really actually great cosmic word. So, hi.
Good. Well, it just popped out. Apparently, I was channeling that word for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm assuming most of you know who Danielle is, but let me tell you a tiny little, this is my personal intro. I'm not going to read off her website to Danielle, because I have known about her for a very long time, back in the days of Style Statement and whatever it was, carrieanddanielle.com. And before I got taken over and turned horrible, as soon as Danielle left, you could tell. I could tell.
Everybody knew.
I was like, what happened to this place?
I'm leaving.
But she has been an inspiration for a long time. We've got friends in common from our little Pacific Northwest world. And when I think of Danielle, I think of a creator. I think of someone who gets to put their art out into the world. And art, writing, whatever it is she's creating that really impacts people, really impacts my world of wanting to do that on some smaller scale, perhaps. But Danielle, I'm really, really thrilled to be talking to you. So thanks for sharing your wisdom with all of us.
Oh, totally. You know, one of my favorite memories with you is I remember standing in a hotel in Seattle. It was after one of Melody Behringer's Crave conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And you were going on like a forever indefinite road trip with your husband. I think
Yes. Maybe
you hadn't gotten hitched, but you're like, we're going to just go and live in our car and then come back and make a baby. And I was like, great. I'm really going to rock coaching. I was like, even better. Do all that out of the car, and you will be able to do anything. And now look at you.
that was our extended honeymoon road trip, and we did exactly that. Lived out of the car. I can remember coaching from random. We'd only get a hotel room on Tuesday nights because that's when I lined up all of my calls. So random, you know, Florida Keys. I remember a little cabin in the Poconos. All over. Yeah.
It's a great story about doing what it takes, you know, it's like on your own terms. I love it.
Yes, yeah. Happy to have a home and be a little bit settled at this point, but that was quite the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So this call, I don't think you can help being a teacher and a preacher and a truth bomb dropper, but I would really love to hear personal stories. I want to hear what all this looks like in your world. And I know that's where it all is birthed. I mean, the mm-hmm. whole desire map, you know, this goals with soul, this is because this was your process.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so what you did in your world. But before I ask about the forward-looking stuff, is there ways that you look back at your past year, whether that's a New Year's, you know, celebration or a birthday, perhaps, ritual? Do you have any way to look backwards and
mm-hmm.
evaluate? They hate self, how they do.
I'm not a big evaluator, but I'm a big reflector. I mean, they're actually different things. So, you know, I look at, you know, my evaluation of things is how it felt. I'm not so into the numbers. I mean, I love numbers. I love my metrics. I love, but that's not, it's always an afterthought for me. Like, oh, I should find out how many subscribers I have this quarter. Before I sit down to the desire map, mm-hmm. which, you know, I'll do again, I do every December for sure, and I do it for my birthday in May. I look back at what I made in terms of, like, product and art, and somehow I end up considering the compromises I made that I never want to make ever again. And I consider what I asked of my team. I consider what I asked of them. And this is really up for me right now, because there's like, there are times when I push and say, you can do this. Come on. You can design a book in a weekend. What the hell? I'll pay for takeout. And then there's sometimes where like surprise things happen, like this, a new deal with Desire Map book. And we all just say, okay, we're in, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And we're all doing it, whatever it takes. But mostly, I can tell you, mostly my energy goes towards looking forward. I'm not very past oriented. So, you know, I look back, let's look at 2013, think about all the things I never want to do again. And then, like, I'm done. That's like 5% of my energy. And then 95% is what I want. Well, what I'm grateful for and what I want more of.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you are grateful for from this last year? What are the highlights, whether it's biz or life? I guess it blurs into one big piece.
Well, I'm always grateful for my son. So he's 9. He's healthy. He's kind. He's creative. He's super fucking cool. And that's it. I mean, if he's okay, I just feel like the majority of my universe is good. So I'm grateful to God for bringing me him. I'm grateful to him that he chose me. So there's that. I would be in the nut house if it weren't for my girlfriends. So I cannot, like, women, my sisters, yes. And I'm grateful for my health. You know, this year I got divorced. I hit over $1 million in my business, and I got in shape. So there's lots to be grateful for all of those things.
Yeah. It sounds like a year of change over in
your life. There were a few changes.
Are you one of those people that's comfortable with the uncertainty of change? Or I would imagine from that year, yes, but... You know, some people make them really anxious and I just want things to be settled or figured out. And others are like, I'm just going to roll with whatever's coming. This is my life.
Yeah. I am really comfortable. In fact, I totally get off on uncertainty in terms of creativity.
Mm.
Like, oh, don't know how this book is going to turn out. Don't know how it's going to be received. I love that. I love it. I mean, you know, we're starting a magazine in the spring. We're launching in May.
Yes.
And we know nothing. We know nothing about launching magazines. And it's like really high, super high risk. It's ridiculous. What am I doing? And I like, that is a major turn on to me. There's financial risk. There's reputation edginess.
Yeah.
I love it.
Have you always been that way, or is that something you learned as you kind of embraced this life as a creator?
I like it now more than I used to.
Yeah.
So, and I can tell you, it's easier to like, let's just get into full disclosure here. It's easier to be uncomfortable with certainty when you've put in, as Malcolm Gladwell says, your 10,000 hours, when you're I'm an expert at some things now. I've done enough launches. I've written enough. I know enough. And I also know enough about myself. And I have a wisdom. I have an accumulated wisdom about how entrepreneurship works. And I also know that I have great intuition. Like, I really, I know that as in the beginning, so in the middle, so in the end. So I really pay attention to how things start. I don't let things get off track if it's not feeling good. So,
yeah.
Yeah, my heart is my barometer and it's really working. Yeah.
And it's
I've also
good,
got some
strong
money
heart.
In the bank, right? So I'm not saying, oh, just trust and risk and risk and risk. That's like so easy for motivational people to say. It's actually not that easy when you're growing your business and you're traveling in your car with your new guy, or you know, you're living off your credit cards to start your business. There's lots of reasons to sweat and to be scared because
mm-hmm.
it's riskier. But I've got a business now that's generating. It's working. It's never where I want it to be, because I'm always wanting to get to that next level of creativity, of stability, of treating my people awesomely.
Yeah.
So, but that's just part of being an entrepreneur. I'm addicted to the launch. Addicted.
Mm. I remember asking Mark Silver way back in the day when I thought this was an appropriate question to ask, and I'm pretty sure it came out of my mouth like this. So, Mark, what do you think the secret to your success is? Sweet, sweet Mark looked at me and he said longevity. And I can see that going either way for people, but for me it was really inspiring. It was like, just keep doing what you're doing. You'll get better and better and better at it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, okay, I can get on board with longevity.
Mm, you can. Yeah, I'm down with that. And that's exactly the kind of answer I hated to hear. Like 15, 20, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I was just like, what? Like, when is my ship coming in? When is this going to pay off? When am I going to hit it? I wasn't into the art of the long view at all. Yeah. I'm still not really. I don't think that far out.
Well, which is the perfect segue into how do you think forward, knowing that's where you like to live, as I do. And I know this is going to be about desires, about desire mapping, and I can't wait to hear what that looks like in your world. So, you know, will you walk us through, like, what it would look like you sitting down, and paint the picture for me of starting your process?
I'm going to put on some tea and probably some licorice Egyptian mint, and I'm going to sit by my gas fireplace, which I wanted to have taken out of this house when I bought this house because I thought it was ugly. But now it's the best thing I ever did was leave that gas fireplace in here because it's on all the time. And I'm going to kind of meditate on my core desired feelings that have been with me for a long time. They've been refined, but essentially it's the same five core desired feelings. And I'm going to make sure, like, they still resonate and they feel great in my body and my psyche. And they do. I'm probably going to stick with them. And then I'm going to think about the year, like I said, you know, the top of the call, what worked, and what am I never going to compromise on again. And then I'm going to ask myself, and this is the big question, here we go, I'm going to ask myself, what do I need to do in 2014 to generate these core desired feelings? And so I'm going to get that out. And I'm going to look at sort of the goals and intentions that are floating around anywhere. There's books I want to write and places I want to go, and I have to measure those against those core desired feelings and say, you know, is that book really going to make me feel joy and abundance and divine femininity and in communion and, you know, creation? Those are my core desired feelings.
Those are five.
And if the answer is no, you know, and then I will apply, I'll finish that sentence. If the answer is no, then it doesn't get on the list. And then I'm going to apply some logic as to, like, what I can actually physically, financially, psychologically do in a year. Mm-hmm. And this is where, you know, you got to get really ruthless. It's not about having 10 things to scratch off on my bucket list for that year. It's like three major things, maybe two, maybe four. And I'm going to hit those out of the park. I'm going to do them impeccably. I'm going to treat everybody who's involved in creating those, you know, with great generosity, and I'm going to feel satisfied at the end. And if I have to change course and dump them along the way, I'll do that. But I'd rather do two or three things just awesomely than 10 things like maggot, you know?
check the box, but it's oh so
check the box. There's no check in the box. I want to be awesome. And that's it. And I'll work in some, there'll always be some, then there's like a little bucket of like side personal things. Like I really want to get into tango this year. And I know that I need to set up a new art project every week for my kid and I. Those are little things I need to do. And I just make sure that those fit with joy, et cetera. And then it's a go. And then... And then I'll probably call Angie, who's my business manager, and say, can we pull this off?
Here's what I came up with. Tell me the
logic. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah. What were your two or three big things for this last year?
That
it sounds like
off?
These are kind of business-oriented for you. Other
than divorce, desire maps, getting really in shape, and whatever the other thing was.
Boom, boom.
That's it. I mean, well, and I started a magazine, so it's not out. But I'm in this really surreal time where the new version of Desire Map is coming out in a few weeks. That's partly because of a surprise book deal that I got that I wasn't expecting. I was going to do something new in December anyway, but getting a deal with a traditional publisher like changes everything.
Yeah.
It just took it up like 10 notches. So there's that. But also, you know, I'm about to finish writing some copy for the Desire Map pages on the new site. It's another thing. We're launching this mega site in a few weeks.
Yeah, ago. I've seen a sneak peek, I think.
Oh, it's going to be so sexy.
Uh-huh.
It like makes toast. It's so awesome. So that's happening. But, you know, as I'm putting that to bed and the team's like running hard to cross that finish line, next week is all about the magazine, which isn't coming out until May. So I'm doing that behind the scenes, and that's nuts. Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Can you tell me, or I know a little bit of the story, I think, but for everybody, from an outside observer, it was like magazine, yay, Danielle magazine. Everyone is excited. I love magazines. I'm like your perfect audience for Danielle magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So excited. And then it kind of fell away. And I was like, what? Where'd the magazine go?
Mm-hmm.
And now I know what was happening. You were getting this, you know, amazing book deal. But for the audience, ladies listening, how did you know? Well, this might be a bad example for this, but you can try. How did you know when you needed to switch gears? You know, you're working on the goal, launch the magazine in the whatever it was, the fall, and then it didn't happen because of something else.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a gut check? Is that
a... There was no gut check. This was major reality. This was...
Yeah.
You know, like I said to the crew, I was like, okay, we're going to do this book deal, a book/audio deal with Sounds True, which equals international distribution, not just Canada and the U.S., but like any English-speaking bookstore wants in is in. And like we all knew that meant major campaign and other big things. And we were just like, okay, so I guess the magazine's not coming out until October. And then we were like, oh, how about we bring it out in January? And they were like, oh, let's get real. We're going to bring it out in the spring. And it was an easy decision to make because it would be business suicide to do it any other way. So I didn't feel any, there was no grief. It wasn't hard. But it was the first time that I have ever not launched when I said I was going to launch.
Mm.
And that's okay because I'm launching something else.
people
noticed I got quiet,
mm-hmm.
and then I divulged why I got quiet, and
then everyone's like, "Of course."
Whatever you're saying, it's all good.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a memory or a time in recent history where you ended up dropping something that you did want or you originally wanted because it wasn't a right fit any longer?
Yes, now I have to think about specifics.
I am a
stickler. You know, when you make books, this thing, I think, and another writer friend of mine and I have decided, you always have six things happening. You always have six products or books happening. There's the book you wrote or the product you launched that's like out of print. It's dead. And then there's one that's on the shelf or it's on your website and it's selling. And then there's the one that you're working on, you're about to launch. And then there's the one that you have an idea for. And then there's the other one that you have an idea for and you're struggling to find out which one goes first. But have I let go? I want to burn everything I've ever done all the time. I want nothing to do with my past all the time. It's like this impulse I have. I want to shave my head. I want to burn the Firestarter sessions. I want to burn every blog post I ever wrote. I only want you to look at what I wrote today and what
mm-hmm.
I'm going to write tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I, you know, when next man comes on, I'm just going to be like, don't read anything I've ever written.
This party comes today, perhaps.
Just don't even follow me on Twitter because I might change my mind by 3 o'clock. Like, So I want to get rid of it all. And, you know, the paradox is I stand by all of it. I stand by, you know, it's all, I'm proud of everything I've done. There's a few things I've said where I go, oh, my God, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe the way I said it. Usually has to do with being, like, just too pushy. But I'm in integrity with what I put out there.
Yeah. You push back if this is too personal, but divorce, leaving a love, I'm assuming the father of your kid. that's a change of heart. That's a change of mind. Was that a long time coming? Was that something that needed to happen for all of you? I don't really know. That's not really a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you hang on that one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It did not come out in any way that was answerable. So let's move on. Happy. How about new love? Ready for new love? Hoping for new love?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Love. Will you say your five core desired feelings again? You want to give them some weight here.
Mm.
I mean, to you.
Joy. Creation. Abundance. The divine feminine. Which is like that Shakti energy. And I always forget the fifth one. But it's good.
I was like, I feel like you said it earlier. Now I lost it too.
It'll come.
Come.
Creation, abundance, joy. In communion. Yeah. In communion. I really want to be connected to whoever I'm with in that moment and to what I consider God. And yeah, that's the ultimate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what expressions of those desires are coming for you in 2014, whether the big ones or the tiny little, you know, art projects with your kid?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to let Desire Map do its thing like I did last year. That was a great creative lesson. I've just, like, put it out and see what happens. I didn't have a plan. Mm. Launched it with no plan. Just get it out. And same thing. Get it out. We've got all these 500 book clubs now. That's crazy. And they're going to launch in the first week of January. And we'll see what happens. I don't know. I was about to say there'll be no new big launches, but there is a magazine.
Yeah.
And that's going to change how I create because that's a quarterly thing.
Hmm.
And I usually don't have, like, time commitments. But again, we'll put that on, see what happens. And that's it. I'm more open than I've been in a long time with what's happening. I only have like 3 speaking gigs on the books for next year because I've been saying no thank you to lots because I feel something big coming and I don't know what it is. And I want to be available to get on a plane for love and for fun. And fun could be another gig that I was just like totally lit up by. But I just felt over-obligated. Not over-obligated. I don't like the word obligation. Did I feel overcommitted? No, it wasn't even about that. I just wanted to have I want to leave space in the air for what I want to show up. And it will.
How do you said that you kind of recognized, I don't know if you used the phrase in your body, but that this year felt full and that you wanted to create space and that you noticed that. Is that a physical feeling? Does it come to you in your dreams? How do you tune into your intuition?
In my body? Like mm-hmm. Well, I think this is, God, if I've learned anything, your body knows. So for me, it's, I feel heavy right away. I just feel a sense of like weight with a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like we ask ourselves on our team, we go, is that light or is that heavy? And so you can come up with an idea that seems fun and you're the right person to do it and it maybe be lucrative and like you're capable. And then there's a silence. Everyone goes, oh, I don't want to do that. It makes sense to do that, but I don't really want to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I feel this weight and this kind of, I can feel the fatigue. It's like the angel of fatigue sits on the corner of my desk and says, I'm coming for you. If you go down. And I go, yeah, I don't want to be tired. Whereas the right idea, the right conversation, the right person comes along, and you're just like, oh, my God, yes. And you lean in, and there's a sense of wanting more. And there's enthusiasm. Like, I'm so about the enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what and you know enthusiasm in your body. It's like you feel a bit carbonated. You feel mm-hmm. spacious. You feel physically lighter. You feel a sense of light, of sort of cosmic light. And it's a yes.
Yeah.
It's a yes, yeah.
I get my eyebrows go up, and I can physically feel them when I'm excited or into something or having that feeling, that alive yes feeling. My and I can't do one, so both of them go shooting up my face. I'm like, oh, the eyebrows! This is a yes for me. There was something you said earlier that I wanted to ask you about before we wrap up, being conscious of everyone's precious time. But you said one of the things that you evaluate is recognizing the pieces you'd never want to compromise on again.
Mm-hmm.
What are things, perhaps in this last year or two, that you'd never want to compromise on again?
Well, I've changed my relationship to my speaking career.
Hmm.
And I've learned to take better care of myself by making sure that the people I'm working with are helping to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the little things that make all the difference when you are climbing on airplanes and you're schlepping yourself around the country is, could you just make sure I have dinner? Because, you know, I've gone to gigs where, like, I'm standing in my heels for 3 hours and everybody's sitting down eating while I'm standing in a very long lineup to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, can I get a cupcake, please? You know, so you start to understand why there's things called green rooms where you go and you eat before you go get on stage. And I really struggled with this because I like to talk to everybody, because I want to be loving and caring and accessible and down to earth, because all of that's true. But I actually need to write it in my contract now that you make sure I have dinner. Because if you don't ask, you don't get it sometimes. And that I need to stay in hotel rooms that have room service, because when you're jet lagged and you're staying in the middle of nowhere sometimes in these hotels, you know, and you actually, you know, you kind of eat clean and green, like you got to stay somewhere where they can make you some fucking eggs in the morning. Or I come home and I'm exhausted, and I, you know, usually I can plan it so I get off the plane in time to pick my kid up from school. And I want to be juicy and vital to pick him up. And I want to be glad that I went where I went. So I've learned to ask for, I won't compromise anymore on gigs.
Mm-hmm.
I only go where I'm lit up by what the people are doing, where I feel resonance. I really am meant to preach to the choir. It took me a long time to come to that, but I'm here to teach the teachers and hang out with cool chicks who want to do stuff in the world. And that
yeah.
requires a green smoothie and a scheduled ride back to my hotel room. I don't ask for a lot.
I don't have to pick out all the green M&Ms and put them in a special bowl and top them with angel dust for you?
No, no, I'm so not Katy Perry. I'm so easy about this, just basic. I just, really, you get me a green smoothie, I'll talk for 3 hours, really.
Danielle, for everybody listening, I could probably talk them through this as well, but how do they get involved in the Desire Map and this new launch in the book club? Where should I send people? Where do you prefer your love to be bestowed? Facebook? How can they tell you they listened and they learned and this is what they're taking away from this interview?
Thank you for asking. Well, everything is changing on December 3rd. So December 3rd is a big day. I'm not sure when you're airing this. But like new site, new collection of books. Everybody, like, you will be totally cool if you get people Desire Map anything for Christmas. So, like, there's the book, there's the day timer, there's the journal. It's like, it's all, it's great. We're launching a collection. And then, like, tell everybody and talk it up on Facebook, social media, if you're inspired to. If not, just read it at home and don't tell anybody. Just do it. Just get clear on your core desired feelings. It's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to share mine from when I read your book, and then I'll let you go into your beautiful Monday. I think I have six that I was playing with, working with, and I've always had these words. I call them ways of being, ways to be being. And they changed a little bit when I put them through your book, but I came up with depth, free-spirited, which has always been with me, the sense of being at home, or nourished, perhaps, I'm not sure, simplicity, which to me means something perhaps different, but simplicity, joy, joyful, and vibrant.
What's simplicity mean to you?
Having things feel easy. Less options, less, not, it's, there's still freedom, but there's not stress around stuff and things and many choices so that I can't pick one and feel perfect about it from the start, and then making things feel easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wanted to share. Those are mine.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. And sharing your time and your wisdom for sure. And of course, we'll send everybody to December 3rd, launch of the new site and all the Desire Map goodies.
December 3rd, magic day.
Magic day, okay. Big love and gratitude, Danielle. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Much joy.
Thank you all for listening. Adios, loves.